Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show one of our own. It's a legendary sports talk show host and renowned interviewer, Anne Liguori. And she's here to talk about her new book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legend of Golf, with a foreword by Jim Nance. This is available brand new today from Haytherly Press. And welcome to the show. And I've had the pleasure of interviewing the likes of Andrea Kramer and Hannah Storm, some of these trailblazers like yourself. But that's not why you got into it. You just got into it because you loved it, right?
Hey, Rick. Well, thanks for having me on. I got into sports broadcasting. I was always very athletic. In fact, I competed with the guys when I was a kid and played on the boys' tennis team in high school because we didn't have a girls' team. So I just loved sports as an athlete. And but I always knew I wanted to be a broadcaster. And then obviously with my athletic background, kind of, you know, pursued sports broadcasting, even though a lot of women weren't doing it in, you know, the early 80s when I started. So, yeah, I just love sports. I'm a sports fan, but I was more of an all-around athlete growing up.
You were on the WFAN, the Fan, 50,000-watt flamethrower in New York City, taking calls, and the first woman to do that on WFAN. In the beginning, did people think it was a novelty, and then they realized, oh, wait, she actually knows what she's talking about. Oh, wait, she knows more than I do. Was it that type of thing?
Yeah, the show is called Hey, Liguori, What's the Story? Gotta love that. It aired for 25 straight years on every weekend. And yes, that was, gosh, when we first started FAN, it was July 4th, 1987. And yeah, I felt a lot of pressure on my shoulders. It was not a common thing for a woman to host a call-in sports show, particularly not in New York, the number one market, right? So I just put a lot of pressure on myself that I, you know, came very prepared and knew what I was talking about. And, you know, it takes a lot of work to prepare for, you know, a couple hours show, as you know. And so, yeah, back in those days, I just thought if I don't succeed, not only will I ruin my own chances for success, but I feel like I will hurt the opportunities for other women. And so I put more pressure on myself to do a good job, and that was a long time ago. And as I said, Hey, Liguori, What's the Story? Aired for 25 years, and now I do a show called Talking Golf on WFAN from April to September. And I've done a lot of other, you know, TV shows and radio shows through the years, but I'm still on FAN and still having a good time.
That's so awesome. So, as you say in the subtitle, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf, and you talk to everybody, Tom Watson, Bernhard Langer, Padraig Harrington, Jack Nicklaus, and Ben Crenshaw, and then with the ladies, I mean, Amy Elcott, Annika Sorenstam, Dottie Pepper, the list goes on and on. Is there a common thread running through all the great golfers, or are they as different night and day?
Yeah, that's a great question. They're all very different, and I was looking for different themes for each chapter. For instance, you know, Jack Nicklaus talked about, you know, integrity and sportsmanship and putting family first, and Padraig Harrington talks about embracing fear and nerves and learning from your mistakes. And Amy Alcott talks about being the captain of your own ship. It's just uncanny how everyone kind of came up with different themes that they learned while playing golf during their iconic golf careers that they, you know, use day-to-day life wisdom. And so, yeah, most of it was really different. And when I heard a different theme, you know, obviously my line of questioning focused on that, so every chapter would be very different. But, you know, like Padraig Harrington talks about embracing fear, the fact that he has fear, not just nerves, but he plays with fear his whole life, he talked about. And he said fear heightens focus, and it brings adrenaline to his game. I just saw him out. I'm at the Cognizant Classic of the Palm Beaches here in Florida, and I wanted to give him, I actually just got my copies of this book, so I'm thrilled, and I knew he was going to be here, so instead of shipping his book overseas to Ireland, I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if I just handed him the book? So I just saw him, He went out to play a practice round with Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy. So it was thrilling just to talk with Padraig. He was so giving in his time, and he shared a lot that I didn't know about him. And all these legends do. I mean, I've been covering golf for decades, and I learned a lot about these personalities. So most of the themes were very, very different from one another, which I thought was really cool.
A couple more questions for Anne Liguori, the new book, Life on the Green. Jan Stevenson, I remember when I was in high school, she was like this Olivia Newton-John, except she golfed. She was from Australia, and it's like, it was almost like we need a pinup girl to be, it's something like when the NFL got Phyllis George, it's Miss America. It totally took away from her talents as an actual broadcaster because people thought, it's just eye candy, but Jan Stevenson was an awesome golfer. Did she say, look, this is the price I got to pay, maybe I'll wink at the camera and look good, or I want people to recognize me for what I am, and I'm a world-class golfer. Is that kind of a thin line to walk?
Oh, yeah. She struggled with it. I mean, she became the face of the tour, and they were selling her sex appeal, obviously back then in the 70s. She was this young, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Australian girl who had a great golf game. And, she turned off a lot of her own colleagues in the sport. They thought, well, why is she getting all this attention? Do you really have to sell golf? She posed in a bathtub full of golf balls. She was completely naked, right? Remember that? It was a pinup calendar. And so for many, many years, she struggled with it. She said, looking back, had I not spent as much time, doing all these, shoots and making all these appearances on TV shows and posing with all these male athletes. She said, I probably would have won, a few more majors and golf events. And then she did not get into the Hall of Fame until 2019. And she really thought it was almost used against her, the fact that she was this, sex symbol of the tour back in the 70s. So she definitely had mixed feelings about it back then. And it was not easy for her at all, but it certainly helped keep the LPGA alive and well back then.
No doubt about it. Then, of course, we get into LIV Golf, and it's very easy for all of us to say, I would never sell out. Well, if someone offers you $400 million and you don't even have to win. I mean, it's very easy for the rest of us to judge that. And we got to the point now where it looks like the PGA will figure it out in the courts, but the PGA has, quote unquote, every person has their price. And the people who are really against it, like the Rorys of the world, he's getting a little more soft on it and saying maybe we shouldn't judge them so harshly. What are your thoughts on that, the Saudi tour?
Yeah, I mean, it's ever-changing, right? I'm not crazy about LIV Golf. I've never been a big fan. And I think it exposes the reality that these athletes are in it for the money, right? It's just the reality. It's, everybody can be bought, which doesn't quite sit well with me. But, I mean, you look at LIV Golf offering, John Rahm, $500 million, whatever the number was, and who knows who else they'll go after. But then you have the PGA Tour, announcing their deal with the strategic sports group, SSG, who came in with a $3 billion investment, right? And they said, I read in an article, that $930 million of that is going to go to 193 current and former players. So everybody's in it, to make money, it seems. I think, a lot of these top players were also, they obviously did a 180 from their previous stances about LIV, but I also think agents were very influential in the decisions of many of these top guys as well to jump from the PGA Tour, which made them rich and famous, to a tour that, obviously makes them even more rich. I don't know about famous. I think it's hard to watch LIV Golf at this point. It's hard to tell who's leading, and I think they need to work on some of, the TV graphics, et cetera, et cetera. But, golf used to be the only sport where you were paid for your performance. And that's really no longer the case. A lot of these signature events don't have cuts anymore. Everybody kind of plays, through the weekend. So I guess things are changing, times have changed, and, you know, it doesn't sit well with me, but, yeah, it is all about money. What can you say? Sports has always been business, and even more so today in golf, which is sad to me, but what are you going to do?
I got one more question for you, and the thing that I'm not a huge, huge golf fan, but I do admire how devoted a lot of people are to the rules. You get people on that will phone up and say he shouldn't have moved that leaf or he's got too many clubs in the bags. And they'll actually take these calls seriously or he signed the card too early. My favorite, though, I think it was the Masters where somebody said those bird sounds, they're not indigenous to Georgia, so those are fake bird sounds. And they're like, all right, we're caught red-handed. Those are fake bird sounds. Do you like the nerditry, if I can make up a word, about golf?
No. That I do not like, Rick. It is because you have to have encyclopedic knowledge to understand the rules of the game. And I think, you know, I think some of them are a bit archaic. And, you know, like when Jordan Spieth got DQ'd because he, you know, mistakenly put in a birdie instead of a par. And the second you walk out of that scorer's tent and you don't have the right score, I mean, there's so much technology now that has, you know, the score. And so many people are keeping your score. Can't somebody who's been keeping your score go over it with you and make sure it's accurate? So I don't think he was intentionally cheating. So I do think some of them, the rules are archaic and very complicated. So I think they need to somehow make it a little more easier to understand for, you know, the general public and for amateur players. That's just my opinion. I'm sure a lot of people are traditionalists and don't mind those rules, but they can get extremely complicated.
No doubt. The book is out today from Haytherley Press with a foreword by Jim Nance. It's called Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from the Legends of Golf by our guest, the legendary Ann Liguori. Ann, congratulations on the book, and thanks for coming by.
Rick, I really enjoyed it. We have to get you out on the course.
Let's get out there. Come on by next time you're in NorCal.
I will. You have some great courses in that area as well. So, yeah, I'd love to play.
All right, I'll see you at Pebble.
That's definitely.
All right.
You pay the green fees, I'll be there.
All right, good stuff.